Those of you that don't know, this is part four, the final action of Sex and Duct Tape. And it should be a very good time. It should be a very good time. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to talk to you guys and maybe interact with you a little bit. So let's pray real quick. Lord God, we thank you that you created sex, and we're thankful that you have given us an understanding of how to make sex an amazing thing when we do it inside of marriage. We ask, Lord, that you would encourage us tonight, help us to understand. I pray that you'd be with me and help me to speak clearly what you want me to say, that you would be glorified in all things. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So for those of you who don't recognize or realize, this is part four of Sex and Duct Tape, and in the junior high and the high school, they're together tonight, and I did that on purpose. It's not an accident that the junior high is here with us, because we've got some things that everybody needs to hear. There's some things that everybody needs to hear, and the reason is because Zane, will you grab that camera back right behind you and turn that thing on? Kimber wants to run it. That's why she sprinted back there. The deal with sex is that whether regardless of how you feel about it or what you think about it or whatever, society is so saturated with it that you can't not see it. So here's a classic example. A friend of mine is a youth pastor in Ohio. Everybody say Ohio. It's just a fun word to say. I'm not really sure why, but the word is Ohio. A friend of mine is a youth pastor in Ohio, okay, and he went to pick up some students because he was taking them to a retreat, okay? And so he took off with one student, and he went and picked up this other kid, and he was meeting him at a mini-mart kind of a thing. So he shows up at the mini-mart, and the kid gets into his car, and he's got a Monster. Do you guys like Monsters? Yeah. There's a couple of people that like Monsters. But here's the story with the Monsters. So look at me, because you're going to go, say, what? How is that possible? Here's the thing. The Monster had the regular Monster title on it, right? But then, like, the little subtitle was Playboy. Like, it was a Monster sponsored by, I'm not making this up, by Playboy. And I went, what are you talking about? And he said, no, seriously, here's the deal. Inside this Monster, you know, it had, you know, caffeine, and it had, what's the gurine, or somebody help me with that, taurine, gurine, megarine, sirene, whatever it is, the hyperactivity stuff, and then it had this other stuff in it that was supposed to, not ginseng, but anyway, it had stuff in it, and here's the thing, who drinks Monsters? Teenagers, right? Teenagers. Who needs to see that on their can? Nobody. Nobody needs to see that on their can. But it's like they're saying, we don't care how old you are, we want you to buy this product. It's chasing people down regardless of what age they are. You know, you've got 13, 12, 11, 10-year-olds buying Monsters and drinking them, which is unhealthy enough. But then when you include the fact that it's sponsored by this corporation, it makes it like sick and wrong. Right? Nod your head if it's like you're crossing a line here. Somebody's crossing a line here. And so the sexualization of society just keeps drifting down and down and down and down. And it's sad, and it hurts my heart. But because of that, I feel compelled to talk to you guys about sex a little bit. Whether you're, you know, 12 or 18, you know, there's a bunch of stuff out there that you need to know about. So let me just say this flat out. So you guys are going to want to hear this. Ready? Sex is good. I can't believe only one man in the room said amen to that. But here's the story. Sex is good. It is. It's good. It's healthy. It's right. God created sex. And he did a good job. He did a good job, because sex is good. Okay, so now everybody's embarrassed because I said sex 11 times in 12 seconds. That's okay. You'll all live. Okay, so anyway, here's the deal. Sex, a lot of you guys have already heard this before, so look at my face. Sex is like fire. And fire is very helpful when it's in the fireplace. But it's very unhelpful when it's on the couch. right? You don't want to start a fire on the couch. Not a good place. It's okay to have fire in the oven if it's being controlled where it is, where it's supposed to be. But you don't want to start a fire in the bushes right outside your home. Apparently that's hysterical. So we'll move on, right? There are places where fire ought to be, and there are places where fire should not be. Forest fires are bad. Campfires are good. So apparently that's also funny. Bring it on back now. So that's the story with it. And sex is good and sex is healthy, but it's also dangerous. And there's a bunch of stuff people don't tell you about it. They advertise with it. They use it against you. They use it to get you to buy their products, but they don't tell you all of the stuff about it. So let me tell you some of the things that sex isn't. Okay? Sex isn't a replacement. And a lot of people will choose to try to replace commitment with sex. They think if you're in a relationship and you like somebody, that that's the time to have sex, but there's no commitment, and sex without commitment is worthless and helpless and hopeless and ultimately leads to destruction. So I have something that I want to read to you to demonstrate this, okay? I'm going to read. This is literally, I'm not making this up. This is a letter that a young woman wrote about, well, after a significant experience in her life. And I just want to read a bit of this. It says this: expectations are funny things. They represent all that we could hope for in something or someone, but in reality, they become mere fantasies if they are not supported with factual evidence about our present reality. I loved you. I loved you with my whole heart, and I told you so over and over again. I told you with the choices that I made to support you in every decision, and I told you I loved you with every forgiving moment I had when you would push me around and toy with my heart, my mind, my emotions, and my body. I gave up everything I had, an outpouring of myself in complete trust and love for you, and you threw it all away. You took every piece of who I was and who I was trying to be and placed every effort on shifting it into what you desired. You stole everything. If I did not comply with you, you would berate me with hateful words and pain. And if I did comply with you and what you desired me to be, the usual response was, instead of acceptance that I was looking for, you would censure me and tell me I was being weak-minded and having changed from the person you wanted. Ironically, you had a list of expectations for me. You expected me. You required me to do all kinds of things, but then you scorned my decision based on your feeling of immediate emotional response. And yet, I miss you. I miss everything I hoped you would become and everything you told me you were. I miss who you pretended to be. You see, this young woman had entered into a relationship with a young man, and she had these great expectations for this relationship. And early in their relationship, he was very kind and considerate, and he would tell her what she wanted to hear, and he would encourage her. And yet, as soon as he felt like he had her, he flipped, and he became vicious. And he would say, do this. And he would tell her to do that. And he became domineering. And he became horrible. And so here's what I'm saying to you young ladies. There is this great desire. There is this great pressure to be in a relationship. And the pressure to be in a relationship causes young ladies to move from I desire relationship to I think I need relationship to I'm so desperate to have a relationship I'm willing to give up anything. And young women get to the place where they'll trade sex for love. And young men are willing to trade love for sex, or at least the appearance of love. And young men often have this idea of what sex is going to be like, but even they get mistaken and twisted around because once they have sex, they realize it's not what they thought it was going to be. You see, sex outside of marriage is destructive and manipulative very often. And what I want you guys to know is that you need to wait. Not because there's some person saying you have to wait. Not because there's a law or a rule saying that if you don't wait, this or that will happen. But because of this, the natural consequence of having sex outside of marriage is destruction. It destroys people's souls. And we've talked about this before, that it is destructive and it is difficult. So sex isn't a replacement for commitment. And sex isn't commitment in itself. And sex isn't a replacement for feelings. Well, if I have sex, then maybe I'll feel that way. You can't go into that. You have to have love and commitment in marriage first, and then sex makes it better. But if you do it upside down, you're building the fire on the couch, and it will burn down the house. Here's the other thing sex isn't. Sex isn't a tool. And so often people have these desires and they know what they want. And so young men manipulate girls because they want sex. And young women oftentimes, the coin flips the other way. Young women oftentimes will use sex to get what they want. Whether or not they actually have sex is inconsequential because they'll use their body, they'll use flirting, they'll use manipulation, and then they'll get the guy to do what they want. And we can't have that. Sex isn't a tool. It's not a lever. You can't use it against people. You're taking it out of what God designed it to be. The problem is with sex that it has huge emotional implications for guys and for girls. And the guys don't even often realize it until years later when they do get to the place where they want to actually get married. And then they have to reveal all of their past to the person that they want to share their future with. And those memories don't go away. And talking about that is painful. It's painful for you and it's painful for her and it's difficult. So we're going to move on in just a minute. Here's a video that I want you to watch. And in this video, there's a young woman who talks about some of her own experiences, some of her own expectations, and some of the difficulties that she found. Tim, are we ready to roll that? Okay, go ahead.
I was confused when my dad left. I just think, like, he's not here. He's not seeing me grow up. Every time he saw me, he's like, wow, you've grown up so much since the last time I saw you. And I'm like, you should be seeing it as it happens. You shouldn't have to watch me grow up in segments from year to year. That's just not fair. It's not fair that you're not here for me. It's not fair that you're spending more time with your new family. You should be here with me. I would always think to myself, I was here first. I was here before your new wife. I was here before your new kids. Why can't you be here? What? Where are you? And, it was lonely. And it was very hard. Very hard to experience that. Then when I was about a senior in high school, I fell madly, head over heels in love for this guy. He was just very intelligent. He owned a business. He had this huge, beautiful house. Oh, and he had written a book and published it, too, and then was working on two other novels. And he just swept me off my feet completely. And every worldly thing I'd ever wanted to attain, it seemed like he had done it, and he had done it better than anybody else. He was very controlling. If I would go have a conversation with one of my good girlfriends for 30 minutes on the phone just to catch up with them, he would get upset. If I wanted to see them, he would get upset. I had to buy an entire new wardrobe because none of my clothes were good enough for him, didn't meet his standards. I was accused of cheating several times, which I don't know how that was possible. I was with him every moment of every day. And he just shoved me off of him and walked off. And we were like in the middle of the street. What just happened? What did I do wrong? Why are you so upset with me when all I'm trying to do is have some sense of a normal life here? What I realized was I constantly was just looking for that attention in the same way I had looked for it in my father. And I needed a fatherly figure. And this man that I was engaged to was older, and so I saw him as wiser and someone that I could take direction from, in the same way I would seek that from a father. And so I finally realized I had been investing all this time, all this emotion, and putting these things first in my life that weren't worth putting first in my life. I found myself calling out to God nightly, just begging for the pain to just go away. The times I have felt God most present in my life have been in those times where I am just in desperate need of Him. I just need to know that I'm loved and I'm cared about. Christ brought me out of the pit and He raised me up. And so He's the one that could meet my needs from now on. And He's the one I realized that I need to be pouring my life into. He loves me all the time, no matter what. He's there. I can pray to Him at any time. He isn't distant. He's not far away. He's not going to shut me out and shove me away from Him. It's exactly what I've been searching for. I mean, exactly what I've always wanted. It's just that it's Him and not anyone else. My name is Shannon Culpepper, and I am Second.
She said she's second. Because God's first. Because God's first. In the beginning, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. And then some things happen, right? And then God creates Adam. And after Adam, He says it's not good that man should be alone. So He puts Adam to sleep and He takes a rib from Adam. And out of the rib, He creates Eve, which actually literally means out of Adam. And there's an order to that. And God said, I have created Adam and I have created Eve and I have created them in our image. And when He said our image, He means God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Man was created in God's image. He created them in His image. And one of the things that we know about God's image is there is order. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is God, three in one, complicated and simple, but there is order within God. In the same way, there is order in mankind. He created man, and then He created woman. And He created man first, and He created man to be the leader. And I'm going to get into some trouble, but I don't care. Because this is what the Bible says. This isn't what Chris says. The Bible says that God created man first, that man ought to be the head. Now, the head does not, here there are things that it does mean and things that it doesn't mean. It does mean the leader. It doesn't mean the ruler. It doesn't mean the oppressor. It doesn't mean everyone cower before me. but he did create man to be first. And when God talks about marriage, he says husband and wife. He says husband is to be the head of the household, and the wife is to be his helpmate. And he did that on purpose. There is order. It is on purpose. Bless you. So there is order and it is on purpose. And because of that, we know that men lead. And you don't have to look very far to see it. Can women be leaders? Yes, of course they can. We see that also. But within the home, God created the man to be the head of the wife. That's the way he ordered it. And when he did that, he also created it so that the man ought to go first. And we talked about this in previous weeks, where if there's a relationship that's budding, the man is to ask the woman out. Girls, wait for him. If he doesn't have the guts to ask you out on a date, and he isn't worth your time, flat out. Men should lead. If you can't lead, you're still a boy, grow up, and then ask a girl out. If the man doesn't have the guts to talk to her dad about relationships, then he's not yet a man, and he needs to grow up and talk to her dad. Because as a father and surrounded by fathers of women or young women in this room, I'll tell you this. I don't mind someday if a man decides that he wants to ask my daughter out. That's fine. But he better talk to me. And it's not about me with a sledgehammer or a shotgun or any of those things, okay? I'm not going to beat him up. I'm not going to kick him in the head or any of that. Punch him in the face. But he better come and talk to me first. Because there's a respect. And there's guts that it takes to do that. Because look at this, watch this now. Girls ought to be pursued. The girl is the glory of the man. The woman is the glory of the man. If you ask any man who has brains in his head, he will tell you, are girls better looking than guys? Yes and amen. Every time. Girls are always better looking than guys. And they're worth being pursued. And they're worth being courted. And you need to do it right. Because someday, God willing, if that relationship turns into a marriage, the man needs to be the head. He needs to be the leader. Men need to lead. Period. That's the way God designed it. Read it in the Bible. It is true. So one of the things that happens is that girls look for male leadership. It happens universally. And that's why you see, what? Daddy's little girl. Not daddy's little boy. Daddy's little girl. Why is it daddy's little girl? Because girls look for male leadership. It's written into you. You can deny it if you like, but God wrote it into you. Women look for male leadership. Why? Because Adam was created before Eve. And from that time on, he wrote it into the woman to look for leadership from the man. And that's why women look to leadership from their dads. And that is healthy. And that is right. And dads, we love our daughters. And we do anything for them. And we protect them, and we keep them safe, and we honor them, and we cherish them, and we fight for them, and we teach them what it means for a man to pursue them, because we love our daughters. And someday, God willing, another man will come in, and he will take over the leadership of our daughters. You see, this is one of the things that happens, is that if you look at the statistics, young women who don't have a strong male influence in their lives, they end up in bad relationships with stupid guys, boys. They end up in bad relationships with stupid boys. Why? Because they're looking for leadership. Just like that young girl said there, she was looking for a man to lead. Because God's called us to lead. And if you're not ready to lead, that's okay. You've got time. You need to grow up if you're a guy. But if you're a girl, don't let a boy come after you. Don't do it. If you got a boy chasing you down, then you tell him to turn around and go home. Let me tell you how you know. Here's the first indication that he's a boy. If he doesn't take responsibility for his own stuff, he's a boy. Hey, sweetie, will you do my homework? Hey, sweetie, will you call so-and-so for me? Hey, honey, I really need you to call my boss and tell him that I'm sick. Hey, will you do this for me? Will you do that for me? Will you take care of this? Will you go pick up my dry cleaning? Will you? I want you. Here's the thing. Men need to lead. Period. No. Men need to lead. Men need to lead. And I told the other students this last time. If you got some guy coming after you and he's knocking on your door and he doesn't have a plan, tell him to go away. You need to have a plan. Why? Because a man needs to be responsible. And his first responsibility is for himself. So if you're 32 years old and you're living with your mama, you are a 32-year-old boy. Get your stuff together. Get your stuff together. Men need to lead. We're going to flip this over now because girls do this sometimes, and I want to make this very clear. Girls need to be told, boys, if you want to get a girl, let me tell you how to do this. Okay? Girls need to be pursued, and they need to be encouraged, and they need to be fought for, and they need to be told that they're valuable and they're appreciated. And if the first thing you go to is her body parts, you should just shut up. You should just shut up. If you can't compliment her without talking about her parts, then you need to go open a book and do some reading or something. Find some new vocabulary. You got to be able to talk about respect. Because women are not objects. They are beautiful, but they're not things. So girls, listen to me now, because I want to talk to the girls, young ladies, for a minute. Boys are dumb, okay? Right? And I can say this in all honesty because I have been a boy. I was a boy, and guess what, ready? I was dumb. Just dumb. But here's the thing. Girls, I need you to hear this. Boys are like fish in a way. Boys are attracted. Let me finish. Okay? Boys are like fish, and here's how boys, that was good. Here's how boys are like fish. Boys are attracted to lures. And the way you look will attract a certain kind of fish. So if you're wearing clothes like this, okay, you're going to attract a certain kind of fish. You hear what I'm saying now, don't you? Now here's the question. The question you got to ask yourself is this. What kind of fish do you want? Because if you want a stupid fish that only cares about what's going on here, this is what you'll get if you wear this. Is this the kind of fish you're fishing for? Because if that's not the kind of stupid fish you want, then you best change your lure. Let me tell you about this now. Look at my face because I'll tell you the truth. You'll hear it honestly. Guys want a righteous woman. They want a holy woman. Some of you have been to ATF and Joel Johnson speaks there, and he likes to use the phrase holy hottie. Because there's a whole section of us men, many of us, that are attracted to your relationship with Jesus. That's what's attractive to us. And I'm telling you right now, girls, this is funny and it's cute, but I'm serious. If you want to catch a fish who loves Jesus, then you better have that kind of bait. You better have Jesus going on in your own life. Because there's nothing more beautiful. I'm going to whisper this because it's so fine. There is nothing sexier than a woman who loves Jesus. I'm just being honest. There is nothing less attractive to a man who loves Jesus than a woman who wears this. He may look, but he'll be disgusted at the same time. Just like you all are when I do it. I'm just saying. Same kind of stuff. It's like a train wreck. You don't want to look for dead bodies, but you just can't help it. Listen to my words. I speak the truth. So there are a few things other than dress code I want to talk about, okay? Okay? So I hope that I can say this in a way that makes sense, girls. Look, some girls, this is the thing, students used to ask me this all the time. By the way, you put my phone number up there. Students used to ask me this all the time. I'm gonna spend some time doing some Q&A at the end. If you have a question that you want to ask me about any of this stuff, just text it to me. I'll answer your questions. But students used to ask me this all the time. How come so-and-so can wear this tank top over here, but I can't? And you guys already know the answer. You girls are of different shape. And some girls can wear a tank top and it is totally fine. And a different girl can wear the same tank top and look like this. Same clothes, different bodies. So all I'm saying, cover your things. Simple. Cover your things. All right, so I'm hoping you guys will start texting your questions in, right? Because, you know, the Q&A isn't as much fun if there's no Q. But one of the other things that lots of people ask me pretty regularly is, okay, PC, I get that we can't have sex, right? I'm there. What can we do?
Handshake.
Fantastic. High five. Good thinking. Okay, so if you have a specific question about that, I will answer it to the best of my ability. But let me talk about that a little bit. What can we do? Here's. If you want to hear my answer, you got to be quiet enough to hear it. There's a basic line that I draw in the sand, and it is this. This is my basic line. Don't do anything you wouldn't want to see your future bride doing. Don't do anything you wouldn't want to see your future husband doing. That's what I would say. And here's why. Because kissing is a gateway drug. And I've used this for years, and it's so, so true. You start with a little smooching, a little bit of kissing, and then a little kissing turns into more kissing, and then kissing doesn't take very long, and guys are already thinking, oh, touching. Yes, touching, and then do. So you guys can figure out how that goes. You're all bright and fully capable. So it said hi. There you go. So what can we do and what can't you do? The line ultimately is up to you, but here's what I would say about this, because this is something that comes up over and over and over with young couples. What can we do and what can't we do? I would say this. You need to, ready? This is very complicated, so you might want to take notes. Ready for this? Here it comes. Talk about it. It's a shocking thing, but if you actually talk about it before you do it, then you come to a mutual understanding. Because one of the things that kills relationships is expectations that are unfulfilled. He's thinking we're going to do this, and she's thinking we're going to do that. And so he goes to do this, and she goes, don't touch me like that. Oh, snap. And then he feels dumb and embarrassed, and she feels violated, and it's over. I know it's goofy, but you want to talk about it. Okay. So, I have some questions. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. If you can't talk about it because you're too embarrassed or whatever, then your relationship really isn't capable of tolerating any kind of discussion about it. Okay. So I have a couple of questions. Let me talk about hugging. I need a male volunteer, Patrick. Patrick's always in for hugging. Hug it. I'm gonna model some different hugs with Patrick. Some of you have been around me. Some of you have been around me long enough to know when I hug girls like 94% of the time, I do this side hug, which is this right here. I do this a lot. You know why? Because then your boobs aren't touching me. I'm just gonna be except for Patrick's. Patrick's boobs are touching me. And here's the story, girls and boys don't need to hear this, they already know this. Boob touching is a major turn on immediately. Doesn't matter what else is going on. Seriously, you could be hanging upside down, about to fall to your death, and a girl touches you with her boobs and it's like, perfect, just like that. It's over. And lots of girls get this, and some girls don't get this, but I'm telling you guys all flat out, boob touching is an immediate, like, whoop. So, cross the line. So that's why we don't necessarily do the full frontal hug. That's perfect. Because, what I mean, it's like, you know, that's husband and wife hug right there, I'm just saying. Bam. Husband and wife hug because, well, for obvious reasons. Okay, so we're going to do the tent hug, also known as the A-frame hug. This one's good if you do a little slapping, too. There you go. That's helpful. So the full frontal hug, girls and girls can do that, although sometimes I've heard girls complain about that because there's smashing that goes on in girl-girl full frontal hugs. Boys are like, oh, I get it now. The girls are like, duh. So there you go with that. What else? Are there other hugs that we need to demonstrate, Boone? Do you have any? The backwards? Oh, yeah, that's the backwards. I'm not sure. That's some touching, some bro hugs. Oh, right. The bro hug. Yeah, this one. Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's good. Okay. I think that's... Does that cover it? Is that all there is on hugging? You have another hug? Oh, yeah. The I'm hugging you from behind hug. The guys who pick up the girls. Yeah, girls ought to... Girls' feet need to stay on the ground, boys. Okay, girls' feet need to stay on the ground. So keep them, you know, keep their feet on the ground. That's helpful. Here's another one. Patrick, we missed one. Here. Okay, so turn and face that way. There's this hug, which is not okay because, you know, pretty much there's touching. And girls do this to guys, too. Girls will come up from behind a guy and give, like, that smash from behind hug. And girls oftentimes don't think about this, but I'm going to go back to this again because you laugh. Boob touching. Not so good. Thanks, Kimber. So, when you can avoid boob touching, that's helpful for boys. Okay, so let me get to some of your dear Lord, have mercy. Let me get to some of your questions. Okay, I have a question here. How old do you need to be before you can start a relationship? That's a pretty good question, and that's the Patrick nailed the first answer. The first answer is you should talk to your parents. Now, here's the story. Not everyone has parents that love Jesus, okay? Or not everyone has a father and a mother at home. So if you're serious about this question and you want to know but you don't want to ask your parents or you can't ask your parents, there are lots of us men who have raised daughters at various ages, and, you know, I, for one, would be happy to talk to individuals about that, but it's got to be an individual kind of answer, because let's be honest, right? Some 13-year-olds act like 17-year-olds, and some 17-year-olds act like 13-year-olds. So, Boone, you have an answer? Okay. Zoinks.
Every grade between there and the way, but the first actual relationship that I had any meaning,
yeah,
I was into my sophomore year of high school, going into my junior year. Was the first time I actually had a real relationship where there was like talking and doing stuff as normal people and going over to her parents' house and everything. That was when I could drive at that point. I was 16, and that was when I had a decent relationship. That was the first one that I had.
Okay. Sophomore-ish.
Into
sophomore year. Yeah, it really does depend on the reason I talked about the 13 and the 17 is because it's so true. It's very, very true. Okay, anybody else have thoughts on when can you start dating? Bob says that you can start dating when you're 26. So, yeah. When you're 30. I do some consulting work on the side, just talking to parents, special friends. That's not good. If you have a special friend, that's not good. Well, so maybe, you know, some of you, so look at my face for a minute because I want to share this with you. One of the things that can happen is you can bring other people into the conversation. So if you think your parents are being totally unreasonable, maybe you want to talk to me about it, and maybe we can sit down and talk about what's reasonable with your parents. That's a realistic possibility. Okay, so I have another question here. This question says, what if kissing doesn't make you want to go further? And here's what I would say. I'm not gonna reveal any confidence by saying this, that could only be true for a girl. Because every guy just wants to go further, whether they're kissing or not. It's just like all the time just wants to go further. So, what kind of kissing makes you want to go further? The kind where your lips are touching something makes you want to go further. So, there are ridiculous ways you could take this, that's for sure. But, What kind of kissing is something that you should talk about? And you know, if your parents love Jesus, it's something you should talk about with your parents. Maybe kissing is on the cheek is okay. There are some families where there's no kissing that goes below the neck until after you're married. So if you can't kiss below the neck until after you're married, I don't know. I think that's still dangerous because you can swap a lot of spit, and you know the next thing you know you're naked. So, y'all are shocked. Like, I've been talking about sex all night, but I say naked one time, it's like the world has come to an end. I just dropped a bomb. yeah. Okay, let's see what else we got. We got more questions. How many Christians does it take to screw in a light bulb? Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Somebody wants me to play the hugging video. I'm not going to do that. Is cuddling okay if it doesn't progress to anything else? Is cuddling okay if it doesn't progress to anything else? This is one of those things you have to talk to the person that you're involved with and talk about cuddling. Is cuddling okay? Because, you know, maybe you're on the couch, you've rented a movie, and you're watching it together. I would say cuddling is okay as long as, okay, get this now, hear me. Somebody else needs to be in the room. If you're going to cuddle, somebody else needs to be in the room. Because if nobody else is in the room, cuddling turns into naked time. What if you don't have a dad for a guy to ask if he can take you out? I've talked about this in the past. Girls, look, if your dad isn't somebody who's a major impact in your life, and you feel like that guy who's pursuing you needs to talk to somebody, I say this in all love and respect, and I'll be gentle, but you can have him talk to me. Okay? I'm not going to bring a shotgun to the conversation. I'm not going to say, you're not worthy because this is a daughter of the Most High God and you are a stupid boy. I may think that, but I probably won't say that. But you can have him talk to me. I'm pretty nice. I think I'm fairly approachable. And, you know, if just in the mirror, if you need somebody, I'd be happy to do that. Somebody asked me this. If you're a guy and a girl gives you a full frontal hug, what do you do? Girls, don't be doing that. Because guys are going to be like, this is awkward. I don't know what to do. I want to do like a jelly rope, whatever. I don't know the answer. That's a good question. Because I have students that still do that to me sometimes, and so I try to go swoop for the side hug if I can. Maybe the best thing to do is to either talk to a friend and say gently if you can, gently, kindly, lovingly. I would prefer side hugs. If you're a girl that is running around giving guys full smash hugs, then stop it. Okay, so. What is your take on kissing outside of a relationship? Okay, here's a question. What is your take on kissing outside of a relationship? I would say, if you're kissing, you have a relationship. Now, it may not be a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, but if you're kissing, you have a relationship. So here are the people in my life that I kiss. I kiss my mom on the cheek, I kiss my daughter on the cheek, and I kiss my wife wherever I want. So that's the deal with kissing. I know, I just crossed it. So... I'll have you guys up in just a minute. So, hang on. I know that's terrible. So, because I just got a couple more, and then we'll quit. This is a really good question that I don't have an answer to. Here's the question: why are boys so immature? you have the answer. Because they're boys. I don't. Yeah. Okay. There's. So I may not have answered. Let me answer this question a little bit more clearly. Kissing outside of a relationship doesn't exist. Okay. If you're kissing someone, you're in a relationship. You may not have plans to go further. And, you know, some people would say one night stand is not a relationship. I would disagree. A one night stand is when two people come together as one flesh. That's a biblical language. It says one flesh. And from that, there is no going back. You may not even remember that person, but they still have a part of you, and you still have a part of them. So there you go. I have a girl here who asked a question. Is it okay to do full frontal hugs if you're flat-chested? Let's just say no full frontal hugs unless you're girl to girl or boy to boy. That way, nobody has to make the determination about who is and who is not. Is it not okay for girls to give each other front hugs? Yes, girls can give each other front hugs. Just be careful. What? Okay. Yeah, don't really have a serious question. Okay, so in just a minute, I'm gonna have the worship team come on up now, and we're gonna do a little bit more singing because I think it's good to end with some singing. But Boone, you have one more thought you want to add before I wrap this up? In similar ways, I've had conversations with lots of couples, even inside of this ministry, and I just ask them pretty regularly, how are you guys doing? Have you crossed the lines that you set? Are you being responsible, right? Because, right, first definition, look up here. First definition of a man is, I'm taking responsibility for myself. And so if I've set a line and say, I won't do this with my girlfriend, and then we cross that line, now you have to reevaluate. You have to reevaluate because maybe you're not ready. Maybe you're not ready for a real relationship. Maybe you're not ready for a real relationship. So...